Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Wrestle Talk podcast. I am Charlie Piquenel, your Jam That Champion. I'm joined as always by my intangible co-host, your Quizzlemania champion, Tempest the Wrestler. Hey, Tempest.
Boom.
Still trying to get that over, huh?
It's all about the boom. Listen, it's the best name for a finisher I've ever heard. Not dropping it.
It isn't. I'm sticking to it. It's not good.
It's real good. It's real good. It's unironically good.
Wait, okay. Hold up. Unironically good? That's taking it a whole new step.
Oh yeah, it's ironically unironically good.
That doesn't make sense.
Hey, well, we're about to review NXT, so things just don't make sense.
That, you know what? That's a fair point. How has your weekend been, my dude?
Your weekend?
Like
it's
last weekend.
Wednesday.
Yeah, I know, because I haven't spoken to you since Saturday, you know? So maybe you'd have done stuff since then.
Oh, Pete, you silly sausage. Do things with my life.
That's fair.
It's fine. I have not done much of anything as of late. I'm gearing up for the crazy month that is October in this household. This is the month of nonstop birthdays and such.
Mm-hmm.
Which, had to do some birthday shopping. So, got presents. Got presents for people. If I say it too loud, perhaps that they'll hear. But, I've got Thanksgiving coming up on my own birthday this year, which is nice. Amazing. I get to eat turkey and potatoes and all that good stuff. So I've got things to look forward to, but nothing super interesting that I've done.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't think I did anything this past weekend, but what I did do was I had to move my mattress from where it is because the roof of the building that I'm living in has now got a leak, and it was leaking onto my ceiling, and it was right above my bed. Thankfully, it hasn't dripped through the ceiling yet, but there's just really big wet patches all across my ceiling in my bedroom. So I had to move my mattress elsewhere for fear of, one, getting dripped on in the night, and also the ceiling caving in, because that's also a possibility when there's extra weight on it. So, you know, that's been fun.
Yes, that would be very bad. I would be potentially down a Jam That Champion, and we can't have that.
I know. Dude, can you imagine? Can you imagine if this week my ceiling caved in my bedroom? This week in particular, the ceiling in my bedroom caved in. Because not only is Luke off, Ollie is also off, Laurie is busy, and I would be down a bedroom. wouldn't be great. I'll be honest. I don't know what the fate of the WrestleTalk channel would be if I had some issues this week. Thank God it hasn't happened, though. But it's been incredibly windy and rainy and miserable here, and that's why the leak has sprung up in the first place. But God, really hope it stops soon, because it's suddenly dropped in temperature as well. It feels like we've gone from summer and now it's winter. It's like, I'm sure there's supposed to be an autumn somewhere in there. Okay, I guess we're not getting that. But yeah, it's just been bloody miserable the last like week. And now
that just sounds like Britain to me.
That's true, yeah.
You know, you said cold and rainy and windy, and I was like, yeah, that just sounds like England.
Mm-hmm. It sure is, yeah. But it's been a bit rubbish. But I tell you what, Tempest. Last night, I watched a movie.
Ooh.
It's a little Pixar movie. Ooh. Called Onward.
Oh.
Which, have you seen it?
I've not yet seen Onward. You know, mm-hmm. it looked a little bit generic when it first came out, and mm-hmm. thus I didn't see it, and then I haven't gotten around to seeing it when I did my little Pixar mm-hmm. catch up deal where I watched Coco and mm-hmm. I watched Soul and a couple of the other ones that I'd missed in recent years, but I did not mm-hmm. hit Onward.
Fair enough. Well, I watched Onward. I didn't really know what it was about. All it seemed was like the very, very first like reveal, I think, of Onward, like way back when. And I knew that it had Tom Holland and Chris Pratt in it. And I think that was it. That's all I knew about it. So I went into it kind of completely blind. And, oh boy, I cried. it's a good movie. Yeah, I don't want to say too much about it if you are going to watch it at some point. But, like, it was a very good subversion of expectations. Because you go into it thinking, like, okay, this is the bit where this thing's going to happen. And you go, oh, they're not doing that. Huh. Interesting. And it's like an interesting, like, different, like, play on the standard relationships that you think of and like character designs and stuff like that. I think it's cool. It's nice. And there's a bit at the end of the movie, which I won't spoil, but there's a bit at the end of the movie which I thought they did a fantastic job with. As it was quite like apt, and it had really interesting ideas about like familial relationships and things like that. And it was just like, man, that it hit me. It hit me real hard. And I cried a lot. it's a really good movie. So I would highly recommend Onward to all people. I'd say it's up there with like, and especially because there's heavy fantasy tropes in there as well, or like a fantasy setting, or like a twist on fantasy setting anyway, in Onward, which obviously appeals to me and my D&D-ness. And also, one of the characters is really into fantasy role-playing games. And it's like, so, D&D, but they can't say D&D. And it literally, like, he always references this fantasy role-playing game called, like, Quests of Yore. And it's like, so D&D, but you just can't say D&D. and keeps talking about, like, various D&D things and stuff like that. And it's like, oh, this thing's a gelatinous cube. It's like, that's a monster in D&D. Like, yeah, so it's... That obviously is a side of it appealed to me as well. But yeah, just it's such a good movie. I think I might like it as much as Coco. Ooh, that's a strong one, because Coco is one of my favorite movies like ever. It's close. It's close between them, but it's really good.
I was gonna say that would be very, very high praise in that case.
Oh god, it's such a good movie. I don't know. I don't know what it is. It just hit me, man. It hits on an emotional level, and it was just really cool, and it was just, some stuff was really stupid but funny, and it was good. I just really enjoyed it. Anyway, let's talk about something that wasn't as good. Let's talk about NXT, shall we?
We have to.
Yeah, I know. Where the first thing we're going to be talking about is Parker Boudreau, you know, the next coming of the next Brock Lesnar, the next big thing in WWE. Ah, big deal. He debuted on NXT, but he's different. He's called Harland now, and he's got a shaved head, and he stood there in the crowd. Ooh. Wasn't great. Let's talk about it. I got a jar of dirt.
And guess what's inside it?
It's just me and Tempest sticking around from the podcast intros and outros, which if you remember, you get to watch, or you can listen to the audio podcast version of the show, and you listen to it, because we just talk about Pirates of the Caribbean and stuff. Anyway, hello, welcome to the Wrestle Podcast review of NXT 2.7. I'm Chopper Pete Quinnell, your Jam That Champion. I'm joined by Tempest Thruster, my intangible co-host, as always. I'm super tired, so this is going to be a delirious episode. The patented Pete Quinnell special of Delirious Podcast. Huh?
Watching Ring of Honor?
Delirious? Yes. Exactly, yes.
God, can we?
Just reviewing Ron instead. But the first thing we're going to be talking about, firstly, get in your Ultra Chats at WrestleTalk.com/support. I'm going to go through all the ones that are $5 or up by the time the show goes off the air. First thing we're going to be talking about is Parker Boudreau, okay, had a lot of press when he signed with WWE. Because he was being hyped up by Paul Heyman to be like, oh, it's the next big thing in wrestling. And, you know, Paul Heyman knows a thing or two about the next big thing in wrestling. This was even before he got signed to WWE. And then he eventually did get signed by WWE. And that got even more press of people being like, oh, Parker Boudreau, this guy, next big thing in WWE. He's done all these things beforehand. He's, you know, he's like the next coming of Brock Lesnar, basically. And he even looks like him. Hot damn. So there's a lot of hype around Parker Boudreau. And the reports coming out after he signed and went to the Performance Center was like, oh, he's actually really good. He's picking up wrestling really quickly. Like, these are all really positive signs for Parker Boudreau. And then the big name change apocalypse happened. And we saw a lot of names come out, like Von Wagner and Bron Breakker and Lash Legend and Tony D'Angelo and all these other names. And one of the names that came out was Harland. One word, one name. Harland, who is the new name of Parker Boudreau. And instantly I was like, oh no. They've WWE'd him. They've made him their thing, because they can't have the outside thing that someone else has made, right? And he debuted on this episode after a Joe Gacy match, which we'll get to. Joe Gacy was walking away from his match, turned to the stands, and Harland, that's H-A-R-L-A-N-D, was standing there, shaved head, as the picture of him in the thumbnail, with close, it didn't look very good on him, I'll be honest. Standing there and just kind of being like, I'm serious, man. Looking down at Joe Gacy. And Joe Gacy walks away, and that's his debut. Next big thing in wrestling right there. Whew, this wasn't good, was it?
He looked like Victor Zsasz. Mm. Shout out to the people that will understand that reference.
Mm.
Of a mid-tier mid-card Batman villain. He's actually appeared in quite a few movies. Yeah. We just talk about DC movies instead, because I'd rather do that. He was in Batman Begins. Yeah. He was in Batman Begins. He was in Birds of Prey. Whatever. I don't get it. And I'm not going to completely write it off, because like, of the names that they've given people, I've heard worse than Harland, you know? It's just like, okay, it's fine. It's a fine name, I suppose. And the look itself, I saw him and I was like, well, he looks goofy.
Mm.
But at the same time...
Shown, right?
Sure, yeah. But the problem to me, if they'd done this with someone else, I probably wouldn't care that much. I'd be like, okay, weirdo, you know, named Harland is debuting on NXT. Yeah. But it's the fact that it's Parker Boudreau.
Yeah.
Right? Because I don't understand the justification for taking someone who has press and has a name attached to them already.
Yeah.
And saying, no, do away with all that. He needs to be a character. Why couldn't Parker Boudreau have been introduced as like the centerpiece of the Diamond Mine? He's gonna go for the NXT championship. Look at this stud, this absolute monster of a man. Look at him. He's an athlete, and we've crafted him into a winner. Nah, he's a psycho Victor Zsasz looking fool named Harland. And yeah, I don't want to rag on it too much because this is one that I will let play out a little bit more, but I do not understand WWE's obsession with changing the names of people that have name value already.
Yes.
How long do we have to wait before Gable Steveson is repackaged into a dumb name character? And a character like and it'll happen. I would put money, good Louis Dangor money on it, that will happen. But
do you reckon they'll change him to Biggie G instead of Shorty G?
They would do that. They would do something like that because his name is Gable, you see? Haha.
Yeah. Steve Gableson. That's a great shout, Rob.
Yeah,
great shout. I that's the thing with this is I don't want to write it off. I did think he looked a bit goofy and a bit rubbish, but you know, it's very early doors. His character could fit that and it might turn out to be really, really good. It's the idea that they have to change everything. It's the same thing with Keith Bearcat Lee. Isn't a bad thing, especially knowing the context of the history of the name and the homage it's paying and all that stuff. That's fine. But why do you need to change Keith Lee? He's Keith Lee. He doesn't need the extra name to make him a standout talent. You know, he's already awesome. He's already Keith Lee. He's already a complete package ready to go. And yet they always feel the need to like, now we just got to change him about this one thing. We just got to put him in a different thing. We make him wear a different shirt, make him wrestle in shorts. You know, it's like, why can't you just let them be them? You know, Keith Lee already had a decent little following from NXT. Why do they need to change it? And it's the same thing with a load of NXT guys who go up to the main roster. It's like, you already built them up to be one thing. Why you got to change them into something else? And it's the same with Parker Boudreaux coming in here. He's already got name value somewhere else. Why you got to change it and make him into Harland instead of embracing the press you already have and channeling that into his character? It's baffling. I don't understand. I don't understand the thought process at all.
Yeah. Genuinely, if Kurt Angle signed with them today, his name would not be Kurt Angle, Olympic gold medalist, American hero, actual athlete that won at the Olympics. He would be Kirk Angels, weirdo magician. You know?
Weirdo magician, you just get that because of Chris Angel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's what they would do, because that's what they're doing now. You get actual athletes. Lash Legend, a WNBA player.
Yeah.
She's going to talk about being in the WNBA, but is there a WNBA player called Lash Legend? No, there's not. Yeah, God. I don't get it. I don't get it. But it's fine. Like I said, I'll see him wrestle. And if he wrestles like a weirdo, kind of like how he looks, then I'll have a problem. Once the character starts being a detraction from the overall presentation, that's when I'll be like, all right, you ruined it. Good job, WWE. You did it again. Until then, I was just like, okay, this is a decision. Let's see how it goes.
Mm. Yeah, totally. It's just annoying. They just need to feel the needs. Just pick a little bit. Just need to change this one thing.
Yeah.
I mean, you're great. We just need to change this one thing. It's like the reported offer that they gave to Adam Cole. It's like, oh, we need to change up your look, change up your name. It's like, why?
You don't, though.
You don't need
you
to do,
do
that.
Not.
Why? Yeah. It's just infuriating. They need to own everything. You know, it's like Moxie said on the Talk Is Jericho podcast after he joined AEW. And it's saying they like Vince and WWE just feel the need to control everything. They just need to change that one thing just to make it theirs. You know, it's like a control problem. They just need to control and own everything. And it's infuriating. It genuinely is. I don't feel too passionately about Parker Boudreaux. I didn't know him before of his WWE signings and stuff like that. It's not someone I have a huge amount of emotional investment into. It's just the latest example of WWE just taking something and having to tweak it and change it for no reason. It's a bit annoying, but hey ho, it's what it is.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Anyway, let's get into some of your Ultra Chats here. Let's see what you guys think. And we'll get into all of them that are $5 and up by the time the show goes off the air. We'll get into the full review here in a little bit. Charles Berg says, everyone is doing Snitsky comparisons, but Parker looks more like the love child of King Kong Bundy and Nails. Parker already looked like he hunted people for sport. Who thought generic white prisoner number two was a marketable look? I'm truly baffled. He had a good look already.
Yeah.
He did. Like, he had a good look. Like, his tattoos are really distinctive, and, like, he had a cool look about him already. I don't know.
You know, sometimes when you start at third base, you don't need to send the guy back to home plate just so he can hit a home run under your watch.
It's a baseball reference. I thought you were talking about a sex reference, I'll be honest.
I mean, that comes later.
Could be. Yeah. Yes, it does. Anyway.
Good job, Pete.
Yeah. Prince of Strong Style says, small bits of this show had hints of the old NXT. Basically, Grimes versus Dunn being good, though they only got 9 minutes, and small bits of the Moon Rose match and MSK versus Grizzled Young Vets. But this overall was a bit crap, and I'm very close to not watching NXT 2.0 again. And then they continue to say, also, I'm very, very uncomfortable with the camera work every time Toxic Attraction walked to the ring. Really skeezy and yuck. The overall production is so bad with NXT 2.0. One more thing, poor Raquel waiting in the ring for 10 minutes as stuff is going on.
But Prince, they're just so sexy. Look at me, the sexiest woman in the world. It's my character.
Can someone clip that, please? I just want to get a gif of Tempest doing that, please. Thanks.
So sexy.
I need it for reasons that you don't need to know. Yes, I agree with a lot of what you said there. There was bits of the old NXT, and you saw, like, MSK versus Grizzled Young Vets. It was like, oh, cool. And then you see, like, you know, you see, Grimes and Dunn. It's like, oh, this is an interesting match. But it's just, it's not enough. And it doesn't feel very well fleshed out. It's like what I said last week. Something always feels off about the old NXT stuff now, in that it doesn't feel important anymore. They feel resentful towards the older NXT 1.0. It's what it feels like. I'm not saying they do. It's just the perception of what I get from watching the show is that, oh, the old NXT guys, they can be shoehorned in to try and make the new NXT guys more important, but they now don't matter as much, which is unfortunate. But yes. Eternal Blue says, the fact that Vince thinks that Gacy's character is a good one is the real offense here. Haaland looked like Nails was released from prison and decided to shop at Hot Topic and Spirit Halloween. Look at this show. Look at how they've massacred my boy. 1 out of 5. Nice.
Yeah. We'll get to Joe Gacy.
We'll get to Joe Gacy.
We'll get there.
I don't think I can get angry today, I'll be honest. I don't think I have the energy to get angry. You can get angry on my behalf if you like, Tempest, but I'm just going to be
try.
Like, I hate it. Yeah, it's
I'll
fine.
Try. It doesn't feel the same anymore.
No.
It just can't make me angry anymore.
No, exactly. Let's get into the review of the show, which started off with Mandy Rose versus Ember Moon. Now, I thought that this was a good idea on paper. Sucks for Ember. Sucks to be Ember Moon. But, hey, if Mandy Rose is going to be going after Raquel Gonzalez, it's good to have Mandy Rose get a win, which yeah. She did. She won clean.
Yep.
Which is good. It was a decent little match. You know, I didn't think Mandy looked particularly bad in the match. It was fine. Just sucks for Ember, doesn't it?
I would like an apology from all the geeks that are like, oh, Ember's reign has been fine. You don't know what you're talking about. What has Ember Moon done?
Yeah, nothing.
Oh, she was NXT Women's Tag Team Champion. As if that means Jack. On this show, absolutely nothing that means.
Yeah.
Oh man, apologize. I demand an apology. Oh Lord. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was whatever. Yeah, it's cool. Mandy Rose is getting the push now. That's swell. Yeah. I wish that I cared about her character, but I don't.
No.
But. I would rather have seen Ember Moon have a really awesome NXT run, and I did not get that.
Yeah, totally, yeah. It feels weird to see Mandy getting the push over Ember, but if that's the direction they're going, sure, it's good that she got a win, a clean win, if she's going to be challenging Raquel, because before she didn't have any, so that's something. Yeah, it made sense for what they want to achieve, and they achieved what they want to achieve. But there you go. Beth Phoenix on commentary said that Adam will handle his when talking about the whole Seth Rollins breaking into their house thing, which also wasn't referenced on Raw. That annoyed me a lot. But hey, at least Beth Phoenix acknowledged it. Slightly. Then, was it at this point we got the Indy Hartwell thing? I wrote my notes out of order, I'll be honest. Was now the Indy Hartwell backstage bit? Or was that
I
later?
Think so. It might have come a little bit later, but it was in now. Around this area.
Indy Hartwell says Dexter Lumis has a big penis. Mm-hmm.
Got a new gimmick for you, Dexter.
Yep.
Holy smokes. Man's carrying a bazooka in his tights.
All right.
Makes me like Dexter Lumis a little bit more.
I mean...
We can relate to each other.
That was... That was the pretty much the sum total of the promo.
Yeah.
Wasn't it? was Indy Hartwell saying, you know, Dex has got a big dick.
Massive knob.
Yeah. That's it.
They walked in on Tian Shaw vaping.
Who was saying
they're taking the weed pen back and forth between each other. And it's like, hey, you're not supposed to be here. Get out. It's like, oh, wow. I guess we interrupt their session. Big, massive wang, though.
Let's get out of here. Oh, my God, yeah. And then they were like, oh, that was freaky. And then he says, like, I've seen freakier. It's like, do you want to shoehorn in any more of these, like, potential sex references in here? Like, Jesus Christ. God. Whatever. That sets up a match later, by the way, between Mei Ying and Indy Hartwell. That little interruption of them walking into a room and then going, hey! And then shutting the door. Leads to a match later.
Yeah.
Wild. Sure. The Ghetto Del Fantasma cut a promo. Hey, Tempest, you know we wanted this North American title match between Santos Escobar and Swerve. We're finally getting it. After Swerve's been drafted to the main roster, so now we know who's going to win.
I wonder who's going to win, Pete. I wonder who's going to win.
First title defense for Swerve since he won the belt.
The first singles match he's had since he's won the belt. I looked it up. B-Fab's in-ring debut is the only match that all of Hit Row has won since Swerve won the title.
Jesus Christ.
That is appalling.
That's terrible.
That is beyond appalling.
Yeah.
This show sucks. I don't understand how you could put the title on this superstar in waiting and then absolutely put the whole faction on the back burner. I don't get it.
No, I don't understand.
I thought this was going to be like the new Undisputed Era, right? Like the faction that you can build the whole show around.
Yep.
And then they did precisely dick with them.
Yep. Nothing. Nothing.
Oh my God.
But you know, hold out hope for them in the main roster, because I'm sure they're going to be treated well there.
Uh-huh. Smoking opium, are you?
Yeah, exactly. We then got Odyssey Jones versus LA Knight. And this was all right. Match itself was fine, but then Andre Chase came out. And LA Knight hit a neck breaker and then won with that because Odyssey Jones had his foot under the rope and Andre Chase was there and pushed his foot away from it. So it now wasn't under the rope, so it didn't break the count. And that was that. And then they go, Odyssey Jones is like, oh, you're blah, 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 blah. And Andre Chase is like, ha, 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 ha.
Can't kick out of a neck breaker. A regular neck breaker. Like, I hate that finish for that reason. You know? Mm. It's like, oh, he got hit with a DDT. Couldn't kick out. You need the move that everyone kicks out of in every match. Mm. Yeah, he got hit with a regular ass neck breaker. Couldn't kick out. Also, couldn't just, like, reach up and grab the rope. It's right there. He was, like, 6 inches away. This finish sucked.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I feel like the idea is there. If you know, Jones thought already. I think it was weird because it might have just been the camera work that missed it. I can't remember because it was very quick. The finish happened, but if Jones had his foot on the bottom rope, because I feel like his foot was under the bottom rope, if I remember correctly, which would have broken the count because rope breaks and stuff. But if his foot was on the bottom rope, and he was under the impression that, hey, I've got my foot on the bottom rope, that means I don't need to kick out because my foot's on the bottom rope, right? That's fine. And then Andre Chase pushes it off, and then the referee counts three. If you can time that right, that might work in theory, but if I think, don't quote me on this, that his foot was under the bottom rope, which he can't see because he's looking upwards, so he doesn't really know where his leg is, so he should still kick out anyway, which he didn't do.
It's just a dumb finish. Like, who does this finish benefit?
Yeah, I don't know. LA Knight?
LA Knight got his ass beat the entire match.
Yeah.
And he's just kind of floating around NXT right now.
Yeah.
Talk about a guy who should have got drafted who didn't. Yeah. Oof.
And I know people are going to say I'm overthinking this. And yes, I am. On this one occasion, yes, I am overthinking this finish. But not the point. It's when you start thinking about things that they don't follow logic. Cameron Grimes backstage is now looking for a lucky lady. Boy, how to make me not interested in a character.
Yeah. They've beaten me. They've beaten me. I don't have the energy to get worked up about something like this.
Nah.
How are you so bad at writing storylines? Christ almighty. It's Cameron Grimes.
It's Cameron Grimes. Guy was super over. The Ted DiBiase stuff was great. Really helped elevate him. The whole $1 million title stuff was great. And then they said, no more $1 million title. It's like, okay.
You need a girlfriend.
That's odd, but let's go with it. And now it's like, and now I need a lady. It's like, why do you need a lady. And I know he gave his reasons, and he's like, oh, look, we had Index, and now we've got Cora Jade and Trey Baxter. Man, maybe I need a lady. And it's like, but... So in kayfabe, I understand the reasoning, because it, maybe he wants more TV time or whatever. The real babyface thing to do. But in actual WWE booking, why are you having look at... His thing is, he all he needs to do is come out, wrestle some good matches, and go to the moon, and he's going to get over. Because he's a really good wrestler. That's all you need Cameron Grimes to do. He's a very funny guy. He's a really good wrestler. And he's got a really over catchphrase. Just do that. Again, it's that psychology of like, well, we need to change this thing. We need to just tweak this little thing. We just need to change this thing. Give him this extra thing. It's like, why? You've already got a thing that works. Just do that more.
Nail it.
Whatever. Pete Dunne made a match with him later because Cameron Grimes wasn't paying attention to him.
There is a lot of just like, oh yeah, well, I'm going to wrestle you later because I say so. And now it's happening.
Yes.
Like William Regal is obsolete. They did this like at least 3 times on this show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's quite something. And then it's Von Wagner, everybody. I still can't get over the name. His name is Von Wagner.
Van Wanker.
I can't. And it's him and Kyle O'Reilly. And Kyle comes in and it's like, hey, I'm really glad you looked out for me and stuff, but I've got some trust issues, you know, with people. So just let me handle my business. Don't come out and look after me. So later in the show, Von Wagner comes out and looks after him. Also, I realized that this was the point where Von Wagner can't cut a promo.
Oh
no. Oh no.
Man, the writing in this show.
Mm.
Oh, hey, leave me alone. I don't want your help. Helps him the next segment. Nah, you're all right. Come on.
Yeah, you're right, I guess.
Yeah, you're all right. I changed my mind. Really twisted his arm there.
Yeah, exactly. God. Tommaso Ciampa then came out. NXT champion Tommaso Ciampa, just in case you forgot, because
I did.
NXT champion Tommaso Ciampa comes out. He announces that Halloween Havoc is coming back in 3 weeks. And he says, hey, you know, there's a guy who's been saying he's really impatient and, you know, he really wants the NXT title, but I'm not going to give it to him because I need actions. And I need someone to come out there who's going to come out and who has the balls to take this title off me. And it's Bron Breakker. It's the guy who's already... Why did we tease that it was going to be anyone else? Bron Breakker comes out. And you know what? He cuts a good promo. It's a really good promo. I like
Bron Breakker. He comes out with Scott Steiner sirens.
Yes! It's so annoying.
It's got to be a practical joke on me at this point. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like every week they get a little bit closer to calling him a Steiner.
Yep.
But they're not doing it. It's like they get closer every week. Oh, they say he's a dog-faced gremlin mentality. And then he's doing the Steiner recliner. And then he's got sirens in his entrance. Just call the Rexter!
I know. Or even Bronson Steiner. That's fine.
Yeah, that's fine.
Bron Steiner. That's fine. And you know what, as well? I would have said that... I thought about this morning when I was lying in bed this morning. And I realized I had to watch NXT today, and I was thinking about Bron Breakker, all right? That's and I realized, right. Even if they'd have done Bron Breakker with 1K, and they'd have called him Bron the Breaker, I think that's so much better than Bron Breakker. And that's a dumb name.
Yeah,
but if they just called him Bron the Breaker, I could probably get on board with that.
Sounds but like a Game of Thrones name.
Right? Yeah. Bran the Broken, Bron the Breaker. That's how it goes.
Bran the Builder.
Yeah. Just, man. Bron Breakker with 2K. Come on, guys. Sure, whatever. We then got confirmation later on that is going to be... I've written Havoc versus Breakker. Jesus Christ, I was tired. Ciampa versus Breakker at Halloween Havoc on October 26th. We then got a backstage promo from Joe Gacy that said, conflict can be resolved peacefully. But you're having a wrestling match, which isn't peaceful.
I don't think any character has pissed me off like this one since since the first time that I really started seeing Dexter Loomis. You know?
Yeah.
This character is just the dirt worst.
The thing is,
can I go on? Can I just say my piece about this stupid character first?
Please do.
Because nowadays, there's a portion of the wrestling audience that is not very perceptive, in my experience. And if you say anything bad about Joe Gacy now, it's like, oh, you're just a woke left and you're triggered, you little snowflake. Look at you, snowflake. He's making fun of you, so you don't like the character.
Mm-hmm.
All right, dumbass. Let me actually say what's wrong with this character. Well, there's a few things.
Mm-hmm.
One, the scripting of this character is atrocious. Because if you have a character that just is making fun of your audience, then you can have someone like Dan Lambert in AEW, mm-hmm. who's making fun in a very... He's playing the role of Jim Cornette, is what he's doing.
Yeah.
He's playing the role of Jim Cornette, and he's making fun of the audience for their views on wrestling. And he mm-hmm. does it in a very effective manner. This one, he just goes out and is vomiting, regurgitating buzzwords
mm-hmm.
because a group of writers
don't mean anything.
They don't mean anything. He just goes, like, your toxic attitude because of your privilege. It's not a character. It's a group of writers in a boardroom that get buzzwords together and write them in order. That's all his promos are. And it's maddening. Absolutely maddening. Then the problem I have with it is that it detracts from the matches.
Mm-hmm.
If he was a character who did stupid promos and then you forget about it and he goes out and he wrestles good matches, that's fine. That's better. I'm not going to say it's good, but Joe Gacy, the guy, is a good wrestler.
Yeah.
He can go out and have good wrestling matches. The problem now, and it's the same freaking problem that I had with Dexter Loomis as a wrestler, is he goes out there and he's got to be a character.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to go out and be like, try and hit me again. You can do it next time. It's like, what reason am I watching this guy? And why should I be invested in whether he wins or loses? I just want to turn the show off.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to turn the show off when I see him talk and when I watch him wrestle. And that's not because he's making fun of me for being a liberal, for being leftist. No, it's because it's a character. End scene.
I saw on a comment on last week's NXT episode, someone said, oh, well, if someone was making fun of the right wing, oh, you'd be all over it. You'd love that character. I'd be like, no, I wouldn't. I'd hate it. Are you kidding? Like, oh, damn. What sort of take is that? Oh my god. I hate this character. To me, the thing that exemplified the problem with this character was his entrance. Was when Joe Gacy came out on his entrance, music comes up, name comes up, and you just see literally the buzzwords appear on his tron. It's like inclusivity, acceptance, like resiliency, and then a hippie logo comes up. It's like, you don't know what he is. You do not know who this man is. You're just like, I think these are left things, aren't they? I don't know. Have him say some stuff. It's not a character. It doesn't make any sense. Oh, man. It's so funny. It's just terrible. And none of those things are, like, related to anything. It's just like vague notions of what people think a leftist is. And there's your character. What? Yeah. All right. And also, he has a match against Ike Majiro next. And I can't remember who said it. I think it must have been Wade Barrett that said, oh, you know, he's been making national headlines, right? if that's what they want to go with, sure. And then Beth Phoenix immediately just goes, well, not all of them are good. Like, if you want to lead into the national headline thing, don't then crap on him for saying that he got negative press for WWE. It's just, what is happening with this character? I don't understand. And then, like, him saying that he wants to resolve things peacefully, he's having a wrestling match. And if you want to have him be a hypocrite, if that's the heel part of the character, where he says that he's going to be, you know, he's going to stand up for inclusivity in wrestling, and then he comes in and he's a dick in the ring and he's playing a heel and breaking all the rules and saying that, you know, I'm just going to go out there and wrestle a good match. And then he uses all these dirty tactics. That's sort of a character who's a hypocrite, mm-hmm. right?
That and he's, is a layer of depth.
Right? And he sort of did that once in the match where he went for a handshake initially and did an actual handshake. And it was like, okay, went for a handshake again later on, but held on to the hand and like went for a clothesline. Ooh, what a heel move, right? Jiro ducked him, whatever. But then after that, like after the match finishes, he gets up and he hugs Jiro, like legit. So he's not a hypocrite. He's just a guy who's likes hugging people, except for the one time that he didn't do that on the handshake. So how is he a heel? Is my next question. In WWE kayfabe, like, we don't like him. He has heel heat for us because we don't like the character. But in WWE kayfabe, he's a heel. Why is he a heel? He's a person who stands up for inclusivity and acceptance and likes hugging people after a match and shows respect to people with handshakes. Where's the heel traits in that? Huh?
This is the worst character that I've seen. It's a
bad character.
It's the dirt worst.
Yeah.
And now he's going to be wrestling Victor's ass.
Yeah.
This is where Parker Boudreaux came in.
Is he going to? Is Harland a face?
Oh. This is where they introduced him, so that was my first thought. Oh. Okay, they're gonna wrestle each other, but
yeah,
I don't know.
Who knows? Who knows? Duke Hudson plays poker now.
Yep, needed a character, Pete.
His intangible was suave, Tempest. His intangible was suave. Surely that's a character.
R.I.P. to the intangibles.
R.A.P.
May they rest in peace.
Not us, the intangibles from NXT.
It might be me if I have to keep watching this show.
It's true, yeah.
Oh man. I want can it's gonna be Halloween Havoc. It's gonna be Halloween. Can Duke Hudson come out dressed as Gambit?
I'll take it.
That sounds fun.
I'll take that.
Come on, let's make that happen.
See, heel still.
I don't know. He got beat up by a couple of baby faces turning heel a few weeks ago, and we haven't seen him since. I don't know what that means, but.
And then he now plays poker a lot. I think he was a heel because he won poker. I don't know why that's a heel trait or a babyface trait necessarily. He just won at poker. Who knows? Anyway,
Gambit, make it happen. Get this to him.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Let him hear this idea. There's still time. There's like 3 weeks before Halloween.
Now, the thing is, though, he comes out once dressed as Gambit. Next week, they're going to change his name to Gambit Hudson.
I don't care. Duke Gambit. Whatever. Duke
Gambit. Yeah, sure.
Just do it.
Cora Jade versus someone. Frankie Monet comes out and beats up the someone and then says, sorry, your opponent's me now. I don't know if that's how matches work, but sure, let's go with it. And you know what? And I saw Frankie Monet come in and beat up the other person and force himself into the match. I said, aside from the logistics of actually forcing himself into a match, sure, we'll move that to one side for now. I think this is going to be really cool because Frankie Monet is going to be pissed off that she lost against Raquel Gonzalez. This is good character motivation. Frankie Monet is going to come out and destroy Cora Jade. She's going to come out and be really angry the whole time. And she started off really hot and was just looking real angry because she was pissed that she lost to Raquel Gonzalez for the NXT Women's Championship. That's a good way to channel a loss into further character motivation. So naturally, she started laughing about it and playing with the food. And then Cora Jade rolled her up and she lost again. Like, what are they doing? What are they doing, Tempest?
Oh, I don't know, man. You're asking the wrong guy. Listen. They just did this with Toni Storm a few months ago.
Yeah.
And it went nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it went nowhere.
What do you mean? Zoe Stark's the current NXT Women's Tag Team Champion with Io Shirai.
It went nowhere. It went nowhere. And, I mean, Zeta Ramir beat Toni Storm on TV.
She sure did.
I don't think I've seen Zeta Ramir since.
Nope.
And Frankie Monet has not been here long enough to be considered bulletproof when it comes to wins and losses. Especially when she does not win matches.
Yeah.
She lost her title match. She's been losing since she joined the Robert Stone brand, which I'm still waiting for an explanation on that.
I'm still waiting for an explanation of the Robert Stone brand. Why does that even exist? We don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. Can we get Frankie Monet on the main roster? Just put her with John Morrison already.
Yeah, sure.
You know?
I don't know. And maybe name her after, like, I don't know, you know, some kind of people that used to ride Pegasus, stuff like that. Maybe some kind of Valkyrie. I don't know. Maybe she could have that kind of name. I feel like that would suit her. Something like that. Perhaps. I don't know. Anyway. They then make the Fatal 4-Way NXT Tag Team title match on the main event. They make it an elimination match backstage because they have that power now, I guess. And then they all brawl. I wish they had some kind of enforcer to, you know, to man the chaos backstage in NXT. Anyway.
If only.
Ciampa is backstage. And then I got worried because Ciampa was backstage and in walks Joe Gacy. And I went, uh-oh. They're pushing Gacy, aren't they? And Gacy says that Ciampa has toxic energy and privilege and something or other. Doesn't matter what he says, really. And then says he wants to be included. Get it? Because I said inclusivity, guys. It's a thing that the leftists say. Hate his character. And he says he wants to be included in... Sorry. Did I say that out loud? says he wants to be included in an NXT championship match. And then Ciampa says, if you can beat me next week, he gets added to the main event of Halloween Havoc. Oh my god. It's main roster. It's championship contenders.
It's a championship contender match. Oh, the best NXT. Thing. The best thing ever. Oh, championship contenders matches. Do you remember all those championship contenders matches Shotzi and Knox had? And now they're not even a team anymore.
Don't, Stimpus. I'm on this class, man. I'm going to lose it.
Oh, my God.
You know, so I, stupid.
Can I just say that every so often, I like... I'm about to say WWE has become WCW, and I like stop myself. I pull myself back because I was like, no.
Yeah.
That's hyperbole. They're not there yet. Every so often, I'm like, I feel like they're getting close.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, they're not at WCW in the year 2000 Vince Russo garbage wrestling yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they're trending that way.
Mm-hmm.
They're trending in that direction.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I feel like it's only a matter of time. But that's
fine. We just need Joe Gacy's mom to be on a pole. You know? Joe Gacy's mom on a pole match.
Uh-huh. It's perfect. And he'll say that he's, you know, he's inclusive of mums being on TV or... something. I don't know. Something stupid. Whatever. Championship frigging contenders match with the champions. Stop it. We then got Pete Dunne versus Cameron Grimes. This was a fun little match. Didn't go very long. It was like nine minutes, but this was a fun match. It's two very good wrestlers. This might be called a nitpick. I don't care. Cameron Grimes does his move that he does. Where he does the backflip into the German suplex. Looks awesome. Love that move. Really, really cool. Friggin' commentary team. Have you ever seen that level of athleticism from Cameron Grimes? Yes, in his other matches, when he does that move. Stop treating me like a moron who's never seen Cameron Grimes wrestle before.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It really winds me up when someone does like a move that they normally do, and the commentary like, I've never seen him like this before. Like, yes, you have. Please stop being idiots.
Yeah. Oh. I forgot to mention it in the SmackDown review last week. But it just all of a sudden really got on my nerves when the WWE announcers were aggressively speaking in hyperbole.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Because I just like realized, like it clicked for me. It's just like no other announce teams do this. You know? Like I think Pat McAfee came out and was like, Roman Reigns is the most dominant champion in WWE history. I was like, he's not.
He speaks a lot in absolutes, Pat McAfee does a lot absolutes.
And yeah. It just kind of transcends across all of WWE like this, where it's like, if this were real, which I know, stupid me for thinking about this mm-hmm. as if it could be real, yeah. but if this were real, you wouldn't go in there and say, I'll leave you out of this because this will be like a baseball analogy.
Sure, yeah.
But take the best baseball player this year, you know, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. or Shohei Ohtani or somebody, you would not say this is the most dominant baseball player of all time.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
You know, you wouldn't do that.
No.
Simply put, there's evidence. There is a mountain of evidence where you can look at it and be like, no, that person. And I mean, you know, not to just say, but like it's debatable he's been fairly dominant. Bruno Sammartino held the title for 8 years.
Yeah.
8 years.
It's a long time. Yeah.
So, yeah. That had nothing to do with this stupid line from commentary, but the match was fine.
Speaking of things in hyperbole, this segment came after. We'll circle back to the segment in a second. But speaking of things in hyperbole, we then got a hype package for Reigns versus Brock Lesnar at Crown Jewel.
And greatest match ever.
Oh, this match could be one of the best matches in WWE history based on their track record of Reigns versus Lesnar matches. No, it can't.
they had a good one once. That first one was pretty good. It was 6 years ago.
By Seth.
Yeah, the one that had a great ending that didn't involve either guy.
Oh, God. It's also a match in Saudi. It's not going to be one of the greatest matches ever. Just stop with that.
Yeah. Anyway. See, that's. I don't want to talk about that because this is a SmackDown conversation. But like, the Saudi Arabia card is actually looks really good. The problem is everyone's going to be running at a 2 out of 5 when it comes to their output, their try meter. Oh man.
Yeah.
WWE. Yeah. Bad.
Anyway, this match between Dunn and Grimes, the finish was kind of Riley comes out and starts attacking Ridge Holland on the outside, and then he gets beaten up, and then Pete Dunne just wins. He comes out, beats up Kyle O'Reilly, and then beats up Cameron Grimes and wins, and then Dunn and Holland then beat up Kyle O'Reilly afterwards.
Yep. All these are NXT originals. Really do just kind of feel like they're floating through space right now.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what Pete Dunne or Cameron Grimes or Kyle O'Reilly or any of these guys are doing right now. LA Knight, they just kind of exist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
Maybe you should have drafted all of them.
During the ad break, Von Wagner comes out and helps Kyle O'Reilly to the back. Guess they're friends
now.
Even though Von Wagner was told to not interfere with Kyle O'Reilly's business. He just comes out and does it, and Kyle's like, oh, you're a good guy. Like,
I'm buying into Von Wagner.
Are you? I'm not.
I don't know. Something about him. He's got a good look. He's big.
Is he?
Maybe it's. I feel like Luke having that one talk that people got on him about, where it's like the reptilian part of my brain is unlocking when I look at him. I was like, he's big. He's big, you know. But I don't know. I look at Von Wagner, and I was just like, "Yeah, this guy. I see a little bit in him."
That's fair. I I don't. I think his look is fine. It's not great. And he didn't come across as very charismatic to me in this episode. I didn't think either of his promo segments were very good.
I didn't think the promo segments were good. I didn't think those were good. I just look at him and I'm like, wow, big.
Big. Do you remember the tallest man you've ever seen? Hit Row then cut a promo. My God, Swerve is such a good promo.
Yeah.
How do you not use this man? How has he not defended the title since he won it? I don't understand.
Yeah. I forgot to mention this at the top of the show when Legado del Fantasma did their promo. I don't have a whole lot of faith in this company script and promos when they're putting the word thugs into these promos.
Yeah.
Don't do that, writers. No. Don't do that.
No.
Ugh. Anyway.
And he says, yeah, you can fight him for the title. He's going to lose and that's going to suck. But, you know, hopefully it'll be a good match. We then got the in-ring debut of one Tony D'Angelo.
No, you're wrong. They announced it. They announced it, you fool.
No. His name in WWE canon is Tony D'Angelo.
Yeah.
In language, it's Tony D'Angelo. Also, did you listen to Wade Barrett on commentary? Because I'm pretty sure he said Tony D'Angelo. And I was like, wait, did you say it? I think you said it, Wade.
I try not to listen to commentary very much. This was all right.
This was all right, you know?
Yeah, it's a stupid-ass character that the vignettes did nothing for me, but it was a good little match, you know? He tried to bribe the referee.
Yeah.
That was funny. Yeah. That was good. Do stuff like that.
And he's, you know, he was somehow really over with this crowd. I don't know whether they, like, paid these audience members, but goddamn, they were giving him some huge reactions for this match.
Yeah.
And he was solid, you know? He was solid. I didn't see anything particularly spectacular out of him in terms of, like, actual, like, wrestling in the match. Like, he seemed pretty solid with the fundamentals and stuff like that. I thought his finish was kind of cool. Did, like, a Northern Lights roll through into, like, a spinning neckbreaker, or fisherman neckbreaker, sorry. It was really cool. Yeah, he was solid. And I like the character debut. Work that he had was good. So yeah, I'm mildly excited by Tony D'Angelo. Hayes and Williams cut a promo backstage saying they got a championship match without using the contract. I think the contract's just a prop at this point. I don't think they're actually going to use it. It's just a thing that they have at some point. I don't think they're ever going to use it. Or maybe they'll use it and they'll lose, most likely. Maybe like a year down the line. I don't know. It's just going to be
They've never wrestled as a tag team. And they got a tag team title shot.
Sure did.
Sure's bad.
Yep.
Sure don't make no sense.
We then got Mei Ying versus Indy Hartwell. And obviously, the very dominant Mei Ying, who's only had one match and who's been built up for months and months and months as the big leader of Tian Sha, of basically what this whole story is building to, is Mei Ying being a wrestler. That's what the whole Tian Sha thing was about. Like, Xia Li and Bo were just doing her will, and Mei Ying is the big bad of Tian Sha. She's only had one match. She was really dominant as part of it. And obviously she's facing Indy Hartwell, who is coming off a loss. She's obviously very over, but it's a super over babyface for Mei Ying to beat. Wait, what's that? Oh, Indy Hartwell won.
I don't care. My apathy has reached nuclear levels when it comes to Tian Sha.
Like, what is the, what was and what is the point of Tian Sha?
Did everything get thrown out the window when Xia Li got hurt?
Maybe.
Is that possible?
Maybe. Yeah.
Otherwise, what are we doing here? At the very least, can we repackage everyone involved so we can have a character on the show that can actually have a good match?
Yeah. Please.
It's not even just pointless. It's pointless and also bad. Because she walks around and she's creepy. She's Abaddon in NXT and she's grabbing people by the throat. I have to watch this show for work.
Mm.
I would like it to be good.
Yeah, that would be nice, wouldn't it? Lash Legend is backstage. Tony D'Angelo walks up to her and says, I want to be on the show. And she goes, okay, maybe.
I hope he is.
That was the segment.
I've been very negative on the presentation of Tony D'Angelo in the previous weeks because of his stupid vignettes. I'm into it. He's hooked me with his first appearance.
Yep.
Let's have a fun lashing out segment next week and allow me to continue to build.
I'm sorry. Lashing out? Fun?
I know.
Based off the track record last week.
Yeah, I know. I know. We'll see. Yeah, but Tony D'Angelo's there. He's going to be like, hey, forget about it.
Okay. The next segment we got was really good. It was a Diamond Mine video promo.
Explaining
who everyone is, why you should care, and how they're really great at wrestling. Why didn't we get this 2 months ago?
This segment melted my heart.
Yeah.
This was like the best thing that I'd seen in a long time. This was so great.
This is exactly what we needed for Diamond Mine.
Why are we getting it in October?
I don't understand this company.
Oh,
they've been wrestling for ages. He's the cruiserweight champion now. Were they waiting for him to get the belt? Was that what it was? They were waiting for him to get the belt, and they had, you know, the plans got nixed for a while because Kushida had to go off and stuff like that. Was that the plan? Oh man, this was great. I'm now way more into Diamond Mine than I was before. This was great. Do more of this stuff, please. Please do more of this stuff.
So great. It felt real. It felt sports-based.
Right?
That's all I want out of this stupid show.
That's what I was saying last week. I really enjoyed the presentation with like, the flag and stuff, and this just doubled down on all of that.
Diamond Mine might end up being my favorite thing on this show if they keep this up. This is 2 weeks in a row where they did things where I was like, I like that.
Yeah.
I really like this promo package.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love this promo package so much. Genuinely, it melted my heart. I watched it, and I was sitting there just like besieged with apoplexy.
Mm.
To coin a phrase. To steal a phrase from Vince McMahon from 22 Indeed. Years ago. And this was just...
2 years ago.
Yeah. This was so great. Oh my God, this is great. This is so great. Let's talk about how great it was again.
Do you want to know what wasn't great? Raquel Gonzalez came out and cut a good promo. Raquel Gonzalez cut a good promo talking about Mandy Rose and being like, hey, dude, I'm going to put you down. You don't even go here, basically, without saying that. Then Toxic Attraction came out and cut a not good promo.
But Pete, I'm just so sexy.
Mandy Rose tried to shut down the Watch Chants and didn't. Like, she referenced the Watch Chants. Yeah. And
or 2 weeks ago, whenever it was.
Yeah, whenever it was.
Say what if I'm the sexiest woman in the world? What?
Yeah. Strange. And then the timing of this was really weird because Gigi Dolin cut a bit of a promo, and then Raquel was just like, oh yeah, I put stitches in your head when I hit you with the title. And then she stormed off around the other side of the ring, and then they just carried on cutting a promo with JC Jane on the other side. I'm like, where's Gigi gone? What's happening? Why isn't Raquel paying attention to Gigi? She's like behind, she could go attack her right now, and she wouldn't know because Raquel's still looking at JC Jane. What's happening with the staging of this segment? Was her cue way too early? Like, what happened with all of this? JC Jane cut a thing. I didn't think her promo was very good. Oh no, I'm sorry, JC Jane, but oh no. It feels like you're playing a character and you don't feel very real. I'm sorry, JC Jane. You're not very good at this character. Gigi Dolin, I can buy. I think she's okay. The promo wasn't great, but at least I feel like she's much more natural at the character. I'm not buying JC Jane in this character, unfortunately. Then they go to attack her after the staging of, oh, we're going to surround the ring, which Gigi Dolin already did like 2 minutes ago. And then, and then they went to go attack her, and then Io Shirai and Zoe Stark came out to save Raquel Gonzalez because they're all baby faces. Whew.
There's nothing I love more than seeing these characters be like, we're all championship material right after having lost their championship match clean.
Yeah.
Why couldn't they just have won?
Yep. I don't know. And then
it's just backstage, so sexy, Pete.
Backstage, Io Shirai and Raquel Gonzalez are like, grr, at each other. Hey, continuity. Kind of, sort of, but not really. And then...
just don't help her!
Yeah, and then Zoe Stark's like, hey guys, we need to calm it down, because we're all champions, remember? We have gold! And then Indy Hartwell was just like, not for long, because me and her best mate now, whoever she is...
Persia, something.
We're going to come for the gold. It's a new team. Great. That division really bloody needs it. I have nothing more. I genuinely have nothing else to say about the segment. Zoe Stark was really bad. It's not a good promo. I'm sorry. Whatever.
Man, I love this show.
Yeah, I know.
Genuinely, I'd rather watch SmackDown.
Same.
So I'd rather watch SmackDown because it would have a better budget.
Yeah.
And better wrestlers. The hell is NXT 2.0?
It's a developmental show. That's what it is.
Sort of.
Kyle O'Reilly's backstage. Von Wagner comes in. Wagner says it's going to be him and Kyle versus Don and Holland next week. Like it or not, I'm the only one who has your back now. Tempest, how will they coexist?
How will they coexist? Can't wait for them to be the next NXT Tag Team Champions so they can ask that question on every show.
Yeah. How will Kyle get over his trust issues? By trusting, probably.
This is as subtle as a brick.
Yeah. We then had the Fatal 4-Way Championship match, which had the bad rules, which was two people legal at any one time. If you've only got two people legal at any one time, and it's an elimination match, get off the apron. Why would you ever tag in until you're the final two teams? Just get off the apron and let everyone else wrestle, and then you can get back. And there's no chance of you accidentally being tagged in or wanting to tag in, because getting pins and stuff doesn't benefit you in any way. Just get off the ropes, never come in, and you'll be one of the last two teams. Then you just have a singles match or a tag match.
Logic, Pete. Can't have that.
I then wrote, when I realized it was an elimination match, and they came out for the main event, I wrote the order of what I thought would happen. Or really what I wanted to happen, let's be real. I thought that Brooks and Jensen would go out first. They're just kind of there to round out the four teams. They're the baby faces, sure, whatever. They're just there to take a pin. You know, that's fine. Give one of the heel teams a pin. Maybe Hayes and Williams, they feel like they've got a lot of potential. Hayes and Williams can get the pin on Brooks and Jensen. Maybe they can have a feud spinning off of that. That's cool. But then Hayes and Williams will go out next, courtesy of Grizzled Young Veterans. And then it would be MSK and Grizzled Young Veterans, the last two teams. And then Grizzled Young Veterans would win, and they'd win the tag team titles. That is not what happened.
Silly mongoose.
I know. What an idiot. Hayes and Williams go out first. All right, sure. And then we get a little thing between MSK and Grizzled Young Veterans, and then the Grizzled Young Veterans get eliminated.
What?
All right. Yeah.
Go on.
Cool. And then we had a thing with Brooks and Jensen. MSK won again and retained the titles. Brooks and Jensen lost, and then Imperium came out and beat up MSK, and then Brooks and Jensen ran back down to the ring to try and save MSK, and then Imperium ran away. Look at the tag team division on NXT 2.0, said the commentary team.
I'd rather not.
Unless it's Grizzled Young Veterans, I don't care.
Yeah. See, very quickly, these were the problems I had with this match. Number one, Trick Williams and Carmelo Hayes have had no tag team matches to this point, and you beat them quick with a finish, clean. Oh, they've taken so much steam off of Carmelo Hayes since winning that tournament.
Yep.
I don't think he's been in a good segment. He has not been pushed strong. I don't know what the point of all that is. That's number one. Number two, they are dead set on not giving us MSK Grizzle Junk Bats, and I don't know why. That was like the home run idea 6 months ago when they won the tag titles. Like, oh, there's your new feud, Grizzle Junk Bats and MSK. And they've just so been opposed to having that match. And I don't know why. I don't understand it. They get eliminated second. Totally unimportant. Third, MSK has not had just like a clean, decisive, really strong win as tag team champions. Maybe ever. They beat Ciampa and Thatcher with a roll-up. They won this match with a roll-up. I just want to see them be the best team. If they're going to be the champions, be good, strong baby faces, I want them to just win. But they always come across just eking out a win against their opponents. God, and you wonder why they're getting booed. You know?
Yeah. It's the same thing of like, and they even said it on commentary. It's the same thing as why people started turning on Cena, is because it's like, oh, they're overcoming the odds. It's like, oh my God. Ugh. It's just the same thing every time. They're the underdogs and then they win. That's the story every time. And somehow they, you know, WWE made the stupid mistake of trying to make John Cena the underdog every time, which is baffling. but then they did it with MSK, and it's just, it doesn't work, man. They're supposed to be a good team. That's it. But they're not. Man, that was a show. Two?
Yeah.
Out of five, I guess.
Two out of five. Show sucks. Yeah, genuinely, I would rather watch SmackDown.
Yeah.
And that is an appalling statement to me. Considering the last few years, how much I loved NXT.
Dude, I was so excited to do NXT reviews. Now it went on to start going to a Tuesday night. We were like, okay, NXT can flourish now. Now it's not having to do all the stupid bookings to try and compete with AEW. Finally, it can flourish as NXT. It's the main reason we even pitched to do these NXT reviews. And now I'm like, can we stop reviewing them? God. That's just...
Christ almighty.
I know.
It's depressing. It really is depressing. The people that run this show have no idea what they're doing.
No, they don't.
And I saw someone trying to say, like, oh, NXT is developmental and comparing it to SmackDown's apples to oranges. I disagree. This is their decision. This is 100% their decision. And making your show bad on purpose does not withhold you from criticism. And I would, again, argue that this is not a developmental show because they will keep putting people that still need development on the main roster. Without development. So, no, it's just a bad wrestling show. It's FCW. And you know what? No one watched FCW.
You're not wrong.
I've really had a bit of a moan on this episode of NXT. But this show is dog ass.
It's not good. It's not good, I'll say that much. Let's get into the rest of your Ultra Chats here, and we'll finish off the show. AlpacaNation87 says, Tempest, Victor Zaz, see who gets that reference. Me, in my best Captain America impression.
I understood that.
Jokes aside, poor NXT has been vincified into pure crap, IMO. Yes. AlpacaNation87 again says, maybe Vince and Co are purposefully tanking NXT with poor writing and booking to pull the WWE ECW where they use it as developmental, and then they just close the doors.
This is going to, we're going to go full circle. This is going to end with the return of ECW. Oh my
God. Can you imagine?
Oh Christ.
Okay. I don't really generally buy into conspiracy theories and stuff. And this is no exception because purposefully tanking one of your shows is never a good idea. Ever. That's never a thing you should ever do. It doesn't make business sense. It doesn't make sense for the fans. It just doesn't make sense. There's no reason to ever do it. So no, I don't buy that at all, that Vince is purposefully tanking it. Sorry. Hippo721 says, Tempest, WWE has destroyed this thing you love so much and you seem so defeated. I feel for you. Take some sympathy money. Go buy some ice cream and watch AEW tonight.
God, if I could get a CM Punk ice cream bar, I would. Yeah. Those things are good. Those things are good. And y'all see our mood here. You check out our mood tomorrow when we're reviewing Dynamite. I'm going to be so excited.
Might be slightly different, yeah. And it is going to be me and Tempest tomorrow. Reviewing
Sammy
Dynamite.
Guevara and Bobby Fish tonight.
You're gonna get to. I know, right? Is it the ladder match tonight? Right?
Yeah.
The ladder match.
Oh, it's gonna be a good excited. Show.
Yeah. So yeah, it's gonna be me and Tempest reviewing it tomorrow because Ani Luke is still off, etc. And yeah, check out the difference in our mood tomorrow.
Yeah.
Tails P says, "I'm waiting for Raquel Gonzalez to slip on some water and Toxic Attraction to back off and act like they won somehow." Sounds about right.
Yeah, probably.
Tails P again says, Cora Jade is going to light it up tonight. Like shooting stars are burning light in the sky. Yeah, pretty much. She's just a skater girl. She said, see you later, girl, I guess. That sounded like a theme song, right? That was basically it, right?
I saw a lot of people talking about Avril Lavigne inspiration here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, legit. Tails P says, Gacy, I can't believe you would only offer a match to someone with balls. Does Joe Gacy want to fight women?
Hope not.
I don't know.
Want to make this character worse somehow?
Yeah. Manuel Cifuente says, hey, lads, currently on vacation in Seattle, so I didn't watch last night's 2.0, but I might not ever again. So thank you for watching, so I don't have to. Do you guys still plan on reviewing this dumpster fire down the road? By the way, Tempest, go Kraken.
Yeah, hang on one sec. You don't have one sec,
Tempest.
Do you still plan on reviewing
this dumpster fire? Probably, if people still watch it, then I guess we will keep reviewing it.
Yeah, go Kraken.
Nate S.
It looks so much smaller.
I know, right? You'd have this crown. What's going on? Nate S. says, so the mob guy has to rob the poker guy soon, right? Oh, and then maybe we can get a big boss man 2.0 character. That's what the new NXT needs. And we also got an edit here of heavy sarcasm font, which is great. Thank you for that in. Predict Ollie will somehow bungle away Pete's title at Crown Jewel, say goodbye to Goldie. How would he do that? I'm submitting my picks. There's no way. If I'm going to lose the title at Crown Jewel, it would be because I predicted wrong. But we know that doesn't happen because I'm going to become the longest reigning champion of all time. General and miscellaneous Ultra Chats now. This is a missed one from the Raw stream, which we're going to talk about now. Jack Nichols says, a movie pitch. A 60-year-old man, out of touch, out of time, and past his prime, called Goldberg, takes on a group of hoodlums. You hurt his kid. He wants to kill them and go down in a blaze of glory. I call this move Gorg Torino. It's good.
It's quite good. It's congratulations. Good, yeah. You wrote a better story than WWE.
Yeah. Yeah. The Mikey Chaos says, I know this is a little off topic and way too late, but who cares? This NXT was meh. Tempest, I tried a peanut butter pickle sandwich for the first time yesterday, and then I had another one. Props.
They're good people. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
And you start Eternal marketing Blue to says, the vegan crowd. They like it, apparently.
Nice. Eternal Blue says, as an actual LGBT leftist who studies the big scary Karl Marx and others of like minds, none of the things Gacy says are things we say in similar context. It shows how idiotically out of touch Vince is and shows how behind the times WWE always was.
Yeah.
Yes. WTBF says, hey guys, I've got a name change for you. How about Last Complainers, Ollie Nation for Life, Jam That Jam? See, that'd be funny if the name wasn't terrible, which it is. I'm complaining about your name suggestion.
Yeah. And coming from someone who complains in the comments on every video that we're in, I'll take your opinion with a grain of salt.
Yeah. Sounds about right. Anywho, that's going to do it for the Ultra Chats, and that is going to do it for this episode. Thank you very much, everyone that's come out to watch. If you're here for the first time, by the way, and just tuning in because you don't watch the NXT podcast normally, give us a thumbs up, subscribe. Me and him are going to be back tomorrow reviewing AEW Dynamite, where we're going to be probably happy. Cool?
God, if I'm not happy after watching that show, it's going to be a rough week.
It's going to be a time. I legitimately, Tempest, have nothing else to talk about because my life has been this leak in my ceiling, the movie onward, and that's it.
For those who really want to get a look beyond the curtain of the life of a YouTube / podcaster, this is it.
Yeah.
This is it. It's like, so, what's new with you? The most exciting thing that's happened to me this week is I've been watching the Pirates of the Caribbean movies. Been having a little marathon of those. Been watching one a day. They're all right. You know? The first one's great. Yeah. I love the first one. Jack Sparrow, man, Johnny Depp, he got nominated for Best Actor for that movie. For a kid's movie about pirates. Mm. He got nominated for an Oscar. It's madness. Right? I mean, yeah, and then you watch the movie and it's like, yeah, that's the best performance of the year. You should have won. Stupid Sean Penn and Milk or whatever it was. I don't think it was Milk. That movie came out later, didn't it? I don't remember.
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure Sean Penn won the Oscar that year because I looked it up at one point years ago. But yeah, I watched the third movie yesterday.
Ooh, which one's that? Is that World's End?
Yeah. That movie is so needlessly complicated. Like, I don't understand. The first movie is really, really simple. You know, there's some cursed pirates. Here's a funny pirate that you like. They stole his ship. He wants the ship back. They stole a girl. The second protagonist wants the girl back. That's the plot. That's the entire plot. Let's go get the ship. Let's go get the girl. That's it. The second and third movie are so complicated. How did they make such a complicated movie about a theme park ride?
I don't know, man. It's kind of wild. I mean, I will say, Davy Jones, very cool in the second movie. Oof,
Bill Nye, the science guy.
I know, yeah. Very cool, though. I like the special effects on him and stuff, and the creepy fish people that he's got with him on the boat. It's very cool. But yeah, I got a jar of dirt, etc. is
Did you ever see that YouTube video from like 15 years ago, the I've Got a Jar of Dirt video?
Yeah. It's great.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Oh. But yeah, like I was watching the third movie yesterday, and I know that those movies are not like works of art by any means, but I was like, I'm gonna see how these hold up through adult eyes.
Yeah.
They betray each other like probably about 10 times in that movie.
Nice.
And I was just like, who is on whose team? Mm-hmm. Where do their actual allegiance lie? What's the plan here? Mm-hmm. There's a scene where like three different people betray the group within 5 minutes of each other.
Yeah.
And I was like, what's happening right now? Mm-hmm. It's like Will betrays the group, and then Sao Fang, the Singapore pirate, betrays the group. And then the evil British people betray Sao Fang. And I was like, who actually likes each other? I don't get it.
There's a lot to that movie.
And then the fourth one is pretty simple again. They just want to find the Fountain of Youth. The Fountain of Utes.
The Fountain of Wheeler Utes. Yep.
Yes.
That's what it is.
Totally. That's what, he drank from that fountain and became a great wrestler.
That's the secret. That's my secret cap. I'm always Wheeler Yuta. I'm really tired, Tempest. I don't know if you can tell. I'm going to be a tired boy on the review today. It's going to be terrible. It's going to be awful. This is generally going to be one of the worst episodes we've ever done. just right out there. Well, and I know you guys have already listened to it because this is the outro now, but this is going to be terrible. Just brace yourself for that. Anyway, I'm excited because tomorrow we get to review AEW. Me and you, buddy.
Yeah.
AEW Dynamite. I get to review Dynamite. Oh, I'm so happy.
You know, people keep saying anytime we review Rampage or whatever, it's like, look at how their moods change when they switch from SmackDown to Rampage. It's like, yeah, you can see my mood change when you watch this podcast and then the Dynamite podcast, one after the other. It's crazy what happens when I get to review a good show that I like and can actually have higher thought about. you know, where he's like, where do you think this is going to go next? And you can actually debate and formulate ideas about what's going to happen next, because you can go down a line of thinking in regards to plans and have it not just be a waste of time.
Yeah, because sometimes AEW actually like think about what they're going to do, whereas like WWE don't. Anyway, let's not get into this debate right now. We'll save that for the podcast tomorrow. I am the podcast man this week along with you, because we're doing today, tomorrow, and Saturday, me and you. Mm-hmm. And I did yesterday with Laurie, and Adam and Denise are doing Friday. It's a whole week when Ollie and Luke are both off, but it's fine. LIW takeover. It's all good. Anyway, that is going to be it for this episode of the WrestleTalk podcast. Thank you very much for listening, everyone. Really do appreciate it. And stay tuned. More content coming soon. We love you very much. Stay safe. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.